Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, also known as MH the Champ, along with my co-host,
Chris Perry. You can find me at chris.perrysr.
And today, on this video chat we got today, we have the co-founder and managing partner of PMG, which is Players Management Group, Mr. Reggie Blackwell.
Hey,
appreciate
hey,
you for
doing?
Joining us. Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
thank
man.
You guys, appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I see you got your. I see you got your COVID caveman beard going like myself, man.
Yeah, you see my. Hey, yeah, I had to go ahead and let it do what it needs to. You know, we ain't been able to get out there to get it cleaned up, but we trying to. We inching out there a little bit.
I'm about ready to get mine cut off as well. But I see you, brother. You look good, man. You look good.
Yeah, appreciate you. Same to you. I see y'all got it rocking too. Everybody got the beard. See, yeah, you get a little older, though. You get a little gray in there, a little wisdom.
Yeah, I got a good amount of that popping up. It's popping up all during this pandemic.
I know it. That'll work.
All right. So first off, I want to, I want to touch on, before we get to the business side of things and what you do with Players Management Group, your background a little bit. You played at Kansas State.
Kansas State back in the day. Bill Snyder's first recruiting class. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's what I was trying to figure out about that or whatever. What was that experience like playing at K-State and with Bill Snyder?
Hey, let me tell you, it was. I grew up in the inner city of St. Louis, so I'm from North St. Louis. If you guys ever made it to the Midwest, and being able to go play at Kansas State, obviously we was a program that was one of the worst Division I programs in football back in the time. I went there in '89. So, but what I looked at it was Snyder had a vision. Him and an individual, our AD named Steve Miller. And I looked at the opportunity just like any young, hungry 18-year-old coming out, wanted to play soon. And, they had a vision that they wanted to grow. And it was an opportunity to, play soon. And I like what they had to offer. So it was a great deal. I think it was one of the most important decisions I ever made in my life, though. It was a solid one.
Right on.
Yeah, see you left there. Well, on the football side, you lettered all 4 years, correct?
Correct. Yeah, 3-year starter. That's correct.
3-year starter, lettered all 4 years. And then from there, where did you go?
Yeah, so my career kind of took a little bit, and we'll kind of walk you through a little bit of my resume. I always had a passion for sports. You know, that was always something I knew I wanted to do. But, when you're coming out of school, I thought I was going to play in the league. That was my first and foremost dream. But unfortunately, I had an AC joint my senior year. Probably should have took the redshirt year. Never fully recovered for that. Played about 9 out of the 12 games. Had a little free agent cup of coffee with the Chiefs. But then it was just time to go to work. The shoulder never really recovered. So I started my career off working for the largest beer company in the world, Anheuser-Busch, in marketing. So I was in sales and marketing. I had various different jobs with them, brand management, product management, director level. I actually spent about 11 years with Anheuser-Busch. Lived in 5 cities in those 11 years. And I thought I was going to be a lifer. I thought I was going to be 30 years, do my 30, retire, and do what I needed to do. But around that 11th year, the real boredom started to kick in. I was making great money, 6 figures at that time, solid. Career is good, but I always had that itch to get back in sports. So I left Anheuser-Busch cold turkey, went and became certified as an agent in the NFL and NBA and say, hey, I'm going to just put my foot in the water. Let's go for it. So I had a partner back at the time and started representing a couple athletes, and that's kind of where it positioned me at today.
Right. And like you say, you became a sports agent. A lot of guys, I think Rich Paul recently just started, he just started doing, NBA players and NFL players. Why do some or most agents, really just stick to one side?
I think the key thing is when you, number one, it's an incredible, intense, competitive business. So you try to keep what you're familiar with. Obviously, I played football, had a lot of relationships with a few people. So football was my natural gravitation. So I think you know where you have your most connections at and kind of where you have your most experience. And then a lot of guys usually just try to become the specialty in that particular sport. I think that's how you build your brand. You can see Rich Paul been in the game for a while and now just kind of took the transition to go into the football side. And they actually partner with an agent as well, with an agency, instead of just doing it cold turkey. Even though the niche he got with the LeBron James and the whole deal, and you know, but he's been able to build that brand, and they're doing it. But just to kind of segue back a little bit, why I just didn't stay in the agent business and where I'm at today with PMG, and we're going to talk about the company a little further later, but it's a lot of agents. You know, there are only so many players. You know, you got 30 NBA teams with 15 players. You got, you know, 32 NFL team with about 50-some players. And when you start breaking that down to the elite players and the guys that are really getting the really big contracts, that number becomes smaller. So what I found was, yeah, I had an opportunity, did okay. I represented over, 25, 30-plus players while I was in the league, you know, negotiated contract, over $100 million in contracts. But it was – I didn't – where the agency business is going right now is big agencies. CAA, mm-hmm. Octagon, you know, Rock Nation. It's the big agency. So if you're not going to really align yourself with one of those, trying to build to get to one of those in that industry is extremely difficult unless you, A, get awfully lucky, or you got a huge financial backer and you got somebody that's going to really wait the time to do it.
Right. Okay. So you said you stepped away from the agency game, and then where did you go from there?
Yeah, so where I went from there after the agency game, so is I went to a company that was specializing in business management, taxing, consulting business. And so with that particular company, I had a vision to say, you know what, let's take the same concept that we're doing with tax-wise with companies, and let's look at it for W-2 wage earners in professional sports. So we created a group called Entertainment Tax Advisors with that consulting firm, and then did that and segued from there. And I was with them from 2013 until January of this year.
One more question. I'm curious. So many years in the agent game, do you have any crazy stories?
Hey, let me tell you. Hey, Chris, it's good you asked that. The agent game was fun. It was a lot of rewarding. It was experience. But let me tell you, when you represent guys that are 21 to 30 years old, mainly your core guys, and making zero money to big money right out of the bat, it can be somewhat challenging. And I'll use a player that I had, and I won't use the name, but I'll tell you, it was an individual that was basically, when I first got him, he had a particular agent, and then he let him go, and I got him, so he was a veteran in the league. But he was probably making around $3, $4 million a year, you know, serviceable player, a lot of special teams, kind of reserve player. But the guy, let me tell you, the guy was spending money like he was making LeBron James money. And this is a situation why I bring this particular story up, because this was the first client I actually had to fire the client.
Oh, wow.
Because I fired the client. Right, because the situation was the way he was going and the route he was going, even though I wasn't a financial planner, I was the agent, I know where he was going to end up in some years. Right. And the first thing they was going to say is, Reggie Blackwell represented this dude. I can't taint that brand. So to bring it in perspective and close it out, the guy was spending $50,000 a day at one point.
Ooh.
$50,000 a day?
$50,000 a day.
And he's only 3 to 4 million?
and he only making $3 to $4 million. Now, he'd been in the league for a while, saved a little bit, but he was going on a pace where he was spending between 50, probably around 45 and 50,000 a day. So I was like, look, bro. And then he got cut, got released, got re-signed. You know, things started getting tight because, you know, he wasn't consistently on the team. I was like, and then he couldn't control the fight. So I was like, look, I can't do business with you anymore because you don't want to listen. Now, Chris and Mark, you know, how can you spend – it takes a lot of work to spend 50K.
Man, it takes a lot of work to spend 50K one time, let alone daily.
Yeah, daily. So when that happened, I actually had to remove myself from that client. Fortunately, you know, he was able to get some personal help. Didn't have that much saved, but was able to kind of thank me for that later on in life. Was like, man, you know, I appreciate that because the light bulb somewhat came on, but he was out the league pretty quick. And then the money kind of dried up, and then he got a couple girls pregnant and this and that. But and so at the end of the day, it was just a it was an experience to where the point, the crux that I'm making is when you're in this business, at some point, all money's not good money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've actually talked to a few agents and heard them make that same reference as well. So when you are looking for new clients and, right, and things like that, how much of a factor do, you know, personality play in the role of you deciding, I want to represent this client?
You know, first and foremost, if it's a client, you know, you're going to take it as a grain of salt that, hey, you're going, no client is perfect, but the guy is going to at least listen to you and have the integrity of what you're trying to bring to the table and do the right thing. So you don't really go and prejudge it. You gotta go at it as, hey, is this client fits our mold, what we're trying to do, you know, the services that we're trying to provide, and then you go at it like that. So I don't really take it like, okay, well, if this guy's personality like this, I'm going to assume he gets an A-plus starting out. You know, he's an A-plus character type guy. And then he wants the services that I'm going to provide because I'm going to bring a service to him that's going to put more dollars in his pocket if he follows the plan. So in that case, if he's on that line of work, I mean, he's got that mindset, then, you know, we're going at it. You know, our business and our firm, we want to be the premier in our niche, and that's strategic tax planning, minimization of tax, business management, you know, reconciliation of bank statements and all these other things. That's our niche. That's our game. We're tax attorneys versus your typical CPA that's on the street.
Right.
Okay, so is your niche specifically to players? I heard you mention the, you know, even the W-2 guys. Is that specifically to players, or can your average Joe, you know, come in and call and pick up your services as well?
Exactly, Chris, and that's a great company. So we really look at it as we specialize in athletes, but high net worth earners. And where we define that is, there's not really a dollar amount to cut off, but typically someone that's making over $750,000 a year, you know, in that category, that's where our services and the type of strategic strategies we can offer are the most beneficial. Now, that's not to say if we got a guy that's, you know, in the league making $500, $600, but he's been starting for 2 years, we know he's on the cuffs in a year or two. He wanted to put a couple of business in play. You know, we're going to look at that overall situation. And, yeah, we'll probably take that client. So we don't define it to particularly by dollars, but we look at everything. And that's where the football side comes in. Me, kind of where I'm the co-owner and run that, I can look at a guy and say, okay, yeah, he makes $485 now. But, you know, the guy didn't just rush for, you know, 800, 900 yards.
Yeah.
He's getting 20 snaps a game. You know, he's only going into his next year's deal, his last year. Hey, and this guy can change.
Right. You know, he's on his way to an $8 million, $7 million or something.
In a heartbeat, you know. And I'll just give an example of one client, just similar situation, this individual named Rodney Gunter. He was with the
Jaguars.
Jaguars now, but he was with the Cardinals. And first getting Ronnie, Ronnie was only making $500,000, made $600,000, then he make $1 million. Then he had a kind of sort of breakout year. Now he's making $18 million over 3 years, an average of six a year and $12 million guaranteed. But he went that in like 3 years. And that's a guy that, as I got to know him, and we stayed with him earlier, knew that he had some gumption about him, had some heart, ready to grind, and now he's there. And then if he do what he needs to do in these next 2 years, then he can make the next leap.
Mm-hmm. And, Reggie, I wanted to ask, you know, now, because you're not an agent anymore. You're in the management side. What are the difference between, you know, being a sports agency and a sports management company?
That's a great question, Mark. So when we define our business, what we do is an agent is the guy that negotiates the contract. Mm-hmm. So he's number one, the guy that's going to deal with the team and going to negotiate the contract. And then I'm going to put another guy in there, the financial planner. You know, he's the guy that's going to manage the money specifically, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, et cetera. We handle everything else in between in the player's life, strategic tax planning, business management, setting up separate entities, LLCs, any legal services, i.e. he's getting married, you want to get a prenup, or he's got child support issues, he's got to go deal with some legal stuff. Or his Uncle John says, hey, you know what? I want you to start this car wash business with me, invest in me. We don't tell him not to do it or do it, but we vet it. Or somebody's got this bright idea. We got these franchises. We're going to start all these chicken shacks. You know, I want you to give us $1 million. So we do the due diligence. We do the vetting. We do the background checks. We look at the P&Ls. We decide to see. And then we give them an educated reason to do it. So all of those antennas, without negotiating the contract or without managing the money, is where we fit in. So we try to play our role in the team. And what happens is, a lot of times, and this happened nature by instinct of agents, agents get territorial. Mm-hmm. They think I'm a play in their sandbox. You know, so we have to distinctly tell them, I don't want to negotiate a contract. I'm not in that lane. You know, now we do have some clients we'll go out and get a deal for, marketing, endorsements. They want to get a car deal, Rolex deal. But that's not our core service. That's just an extra service we bring to the table if they don't have the current team providing it for them right now. We can provide that service. So that's the real distinction, though. So the agents, they do the deal. You get a deal, they negotiate it, they handle. Everything else, we handle.
Got it, okay. So I'll bring it back to our timeline here real quick. So you finished in January, you said?
Yeah.
January of this year with the entertainment.
Right.
There we go. So we finished there, and then between January to here we are, August, what has Mr. Blackwell been up to?
Right. So what we've been up to is great. So obviously we had a vision for a long time. It's just like anything, guys. When you work with a partner and you're building that business, but you don't have no ownership in that business, you know, it's, you get to a point like, hey, you only can be highly compensated so much. I want a piece of the pie. So it's like, hey, let's put together a team. And we gathered a team with over 50 plus years of experience. And let's get out here and build it on our own. So we've been building, getting clients. We got a couple current professional athletes. Won't name them. There are our investors that are part of the organization. And we're just doing, that's where the name come from, Players Management Group. Because we're a company that is actually partly funded by active players that are in the league. And we're trying to do it full circle. So we've just been adding clients, scrolling, grinding.
And that's dope. And yeah, because I know it takes a lot of money to be able to deal with, you know, professional athletes with the salaries that you mentioned earlier. How do you, if it's okay to ask, how do you you know, approach like a current athlete to figure out if they want to silently get into the business.
Correct. And that's a good thing. If you're saying to be an actual client or from the investment side?
The investment side.
Yeah. So basically it was an individual that I had a relationship with. I've been working with them for, you know, the last, you know, several years. And it's just like anything, you build some trust, you get to know one another, you develop a relationship a little bit, what I call off the field from a personal side. And if they got a vision, because where they're at in their career, they're getting to that point that where they wanted to have something 2 to 3 years down the line after they retire, that they can be one of their antennas of income. So, you know, you just start having a conversation. They approach you, they have like-minded interests, and then you kind of go from there. It was really, we were going to either do it one or two ways, you know, go the regular traditional way, go to the bank, you know, and get it done and use some of my own things. And this one, you know, a couple particular players just kind of came and it fell in play, you know. Right. So you just had to cultivate the relationship over time. And that's kind of what built it.
Got you. And another thing I wanted to, I was going to ask, as far as bringing, you know, new services and businesses, you know, to your clients, if you got, you know, 10 guys, do you pick which 10, you know, that kind of fit with this business, or is it like, I'm trying to get all 10 of my guys paid?
No, that's great. That's a great question. I think each client is that we develop a unique plan for each guy. And so they're vastly different. So they're a little bit, the core business is first and foremost, we don't want you paying more money to the federal government than what you legally have to. That's the first piece. We don't want to give them more than we have to. Then the next piece we see is, okay, does he have a home? How many cars does he have? Is he interested in outside businesses? Does he have a foundation? Does he have a charitable interest? All those different things. And then based on that information, we kind of cultivate a plan for them. But the ultimate goal is, all these guys pay 38% to 47% to the federal government. We want to get them down to 28%, 29% within the confines of the law. And then we want to make sure we protect their assets. So we want to make sure they have entities built in place against lawsuits, litigation, somebody come out and saying they did this, this, and that, et cetera. And they have the business management piece in place, so they can have all the credit card statements reconciled. When we do the tax return, we're not just getting a shoebox full of receipts, because we build a proactive plan throughout the year. Right. Well, your CPA just gets you at the end of the year, hey, give me your stuff, I punch it into the computer, you owe or you get something back. You know, that's the base premise. Where ours is, it's a proactive plan we're gonna build all year. So the key thing is just each player has its own little microcosm of their own little business. And a little bit just, Mark, so you can understand, we kind of do like a, you know, 1-5 player management type relation. So I manage the whole pie, but each player has people below me that just constantly in communication with them. What do you need? What's going on? They'll go to them first. Hey, I'm buying a house. I'm going out to buy a car. Hey, Reggie, what's the best way to do it? You know, should I put it in a business? Should I release it? Should I not buy it? You know, all of these different things, because that's going to affect their strategy on their tax. Yeah, the whole deal. So we kind of do a 1-5 ratio. And once that client manager kind of gets more than that many clients, then, you know, we'll have to add people as we keep growing.
Nice. Okay. So along those same lines, then, you know, each person has their own profile, their own map, their own route. So when you're going and you're getting endorsement deals, are you picking certain companies based on, you know, that player, or are you like, hey, we want to do a deal with this person, we want to do a deal with this person, and then we're going to match players?
Yeah. Hey, it's a little bit of both. But the best way, Chris, is when we put together a strategy for a player, particularly for marketing endorsements, we get a sense of who they are. What's their personality? Are they a fashion guy? Are they a stylist guy? Are they wearing a lot of clothes? Are they a jewelry guy? Are they kind of a more of a laid-back guy? Are they sports apparel guy? Are they a gamer? You know, real rambunctious. Get a part, you know, get a sense of who they are, what their likes are, what their dislikes are. And we try to build a strategy around that. Where do they go to college? Did they go to a big Power Five school, you know, in that particular city? Where do they grow up at? You know, they grow up in Atlanta, did they grow up in DC or, you know, the Bay Area, you know, because we put together some local plans based on their geographical, where they went to college at or where they grew up at. So all that's kind of part of the strategy. And then we would look at also, though, we cultivate relationships with bigger brands just to see if they're going to fit into those personalities. So this company, whether it's a Coke deal, whether it's a jewelry company, whether it's Range Rover, you know, whether it's, you know, Ford, Mercedes, you know, whatever, we try to do it collectively, and then we bring it back to the player.
Right, right, right. So, go ahead, do your thing. With dealing with the players, and like you say, you have this, there's other guys besides you who are like really hands on with the guys, you know, on like a daily basis or whatever. When players, you brought it up earlier about getting married and stuff and prenup and things like that. Right. You know, these are guys who are millionaires, so that, you know, they have a lot of money to spend, and wives, you know, they want to spend. How much are you guys involved in on, you know, recommending about, hey, maybe you should get a prenup, or, you know, maybe you should bring the cost of this wedding down?
Exactly. And we're big in that. And we're big in that, Mark. What we try to do is give them a template and a blueprint. And our philosophy is, unless a guy's just adamant not wanting a prenup, we suggest that you probably should. And it's because it's business, because you have a brand. Even though I know marriage is love and it's all it is, why should you have it? It's a business. Things happen in business. So it's no different when you sign your contract, a deal, you do it even though the organization say they love you, we're in love with you, we're never going to hurt you, you still have to sign an agreement with the, you know, Houston Rockets or the Dallas Cowboys. You, Jerry Jones may love you to death, and he your boy, and he do all of that, but Jerry still gets an agreement done. So you got to look at that from a personal standpoint, especially when you have so much income that's usually the disproportionate from your mate. You know, usually the case is the athlete's coming in with a whole lot of money, and the mate is probably just a normal working girl. Not literally working girl, but just somebody that's an average worker making between 40 and 70, 80 grand a year, or whatever the case may be, and they get with an athlete that's making 10 million a year. So you just got to be able to protect yourself. So yes, we do suggest it. And then we also put together a plan for them, suggested working in concert with their financial planner of a budget. And our kind of rule of thumb is this. Look, guys, save 25 to 30% of your money. Spend everything else. So whatever your relative is, what that number is, let's just use $10 million a year. So if you're making $10 million a year, save $3 million. Spend the rest. Whatever that may be, you know. And then if we can save you an additional million, 1.5 in taxes, save that money, because it wasn't money that you wasn't going to have anyway. So save the tax money, give it to your financial planner, let him work it, do what he needs to do, and just save 30% of your money. If you can do that year after year and consistently, whether you make $1 million a year or you make $10 million a year, it's going to start growing.
Is 30% your number? Regardless of the amount they make, is that around, like, for you in your head, is 30% the number?
Correct, 25 to 30. And it can vary a little bit early, and it may change a little bit. If you got a player that's just in the league and you know that first year they got to do a lot of things. They got to get the house. They got to get the car. They got to look out the mama a little bit, you know. So it might be some flexibility in that first year or two, but not much, because some of the stuff might have to wait the mama to year two. You know, mm-hmm. you might can't do it all in year one. But my rule of thumb is, and I even apply that to myself personally, if you consistently do that and you do it consistently and your financial people produce the returns on investments that they should do, you know, and then you'll have some sustainable wealth. Because the deal is this. Some people say, well, why are you telling them to spend everything? If you can live off 50%, then go to 50. I'm just saying the minimum you should do 25 to 30. Everybody's lifestyle a little different. We got some clients, they don't spend nothing. But I'm telling you, if you want to go to that club every now and then and get the bottle service and trick off some money, just long as you ain't dipping into that 30% pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to fly some folks in from L.A., you know, to New York because you want some things to see, or you want some entertainment to hang out, you want to fly in first class, as long as it don't dip into the rain. That's all. Yeah. Because what I've come to the realization is we can't – I was 21, 22, and I just had a little money, and I know how I used to be. So we have to be realistic with them on their needs, what they like, what their likeness is, but still have a plan.
All right, my thing has froze up a little bit on me. And, like you said earlier, if you want to go get some, you know, chicken wings at nighttime, you know, it's fine to get as many chicken wings as you want to get.
Right. But long as it's within the budget, long as it's within the plan.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, with working with
I'm gonna say working with probably NBA and NFL players, you have a few NBA clients, more on the NFL side. Which one has been more of a hassle to you?
I think both of them have their both unique challenges, but what I'm liking is we would like to grow. Not saying one particular sport, but the NBA has guaranteed contracts. So it's easier for me to have a plan, because I know once they sign the deal, I can say, hey, your tax life is going to be this, this, and this, because this is what you're making every year. And I think with the NBA, what happens with a lot of guys, and I'm not saying the NFL doesn't do this, you got less guys. So I think they talk a little bit more and they kind of follow the blueprint. And I think some of the leadership in the NBA, like the LeBrons of the world and the high-profile guys, they really step up, you know. And I'm not saying that the NFL doesn't have some of those type of leaders, but it's 53 of them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's 53 of them on a team. So both of them had their unique challenges. I love football because I'm passionate. I think they all got a different type of mentality, especially from the defensive side of the ball. But both of them are good to go. You know, they got the same unique situation.
Speaking real quick on that power of, I mean, because I noticed the power that the players have, like you said, with LeBron and these guys, they shifted power to the player's side. Do you feel like the NFL is headed in that direction as we see more contracts that are closer being fully guaranteed and things like that? While they make it shorter term, it may be dependent upon who you are as a player, but do you see that shifting towards that area?
I see it shifting, but I see it shifting at a little bit slower pace than it is than in the NBA, and that's just because of I think a lot of the ownership groups and some of the things in the NFL are old school, staunch boys. They've been doing it their way for a long time. Not saying that they're not good people or great guys, but they've been doing it their way. With some of the NBA, I think some of the different ownership and some of the diversity that the NBA has created, it's got different type personalities that are involved. So, but I do think, Chris, it is slowly the NFL guys are saying, you know, look, we need to get some guaranteed money. We risking our bodies. We doing all these things.
Right.
We can't keep taking some of these L's. And they're willing to sit out and stand and willing to lose money to get it. So I think it's definitely coming.
And my sound went out earlier, but I just got like two more questions for you. And yeah. One was being with your players when they go into retirement. Do you guys still stick with them and do business with them and help them moving on in the future?
Excellent question. Glad you asked that, Mark. We're with our clients for life. So unless they actually want to fire us or remove us from it, we're going to stand with them as long as they're here. Even if their income goes from $10 million a year to $150,000 a year, we're with them. We're going to always file the taxes. We're going to always be with them in the capacity that they want us to be with them. So we stick with them all the way through.
Okay. And secondly was when you got a young player that's in his rookie contract, a rookie deal, and I seen some guys, you know, with the Sacramento Kings that dealt with it. You're drafted. You know, you guys help them get housing and you know, maybe buy their mom, dad a house, whatever. How does it work as far as like, you know, they buy a house and then, you know, they get traded or something in the first or second season or whatever. How difficult is that to deal with?
Let me tell you, very difficult. A lot of times some agents do a good job with it, but we found ourselves, that's that kind of loophole area that we handle a lot. Of a guy gets traded on a dime, had to help him in the relocation. I've jumped on a plane, went, drove a car down somebody, you know, help look at a house to get set up, even myself. So we do all of that during the transition, and it's very difficult because what we want to do, and we try to work, we do work hand in hand with the agent. You know, some agents are more hands-on than others. Some agents are like, look, I do contracts, that's it. You want all this other ancillary stuff, you figure it out. I'm gonna do your deal. And then some don't. But our deal is to make our purpose is to make the transition so the athlete can continue to focus on what he does best. And that's either his craft. So we don't need him worrying about the ancillary, you know, situation. Now, if they got a wife and some of those other things that can kind of help in the transition, then we'll walk with the wife all the way through and make sure everything's good. Or if they got a mom or dad that's still in their life, and we'll work with the parents and handle it all the way through. But we definitely want to make sure the transition is good because it's sudden change. You know, it's just like you have a turnover in football. You know, it's a sudden change. You got to be able to adjust and make a movement real quick.
Man, listen, I appreciate you. I thank you for giving us a little bit of your time today. I got to say, you done sold me on PMG. I'm trying to get to my $750,000 a year. so I can, pick up your services here.
Right. Yeah, we know who to call.
Yeah, I'm ready. My last question for you is, what's your favorite beer?
You know what? My favorite beer, and I'm still, you know, I'm from St. Louis originally, so I'm a Bud Select guy. You know, it's kind of in between Budweiser and Bud Light, still a little heavy. I'm there, and then I'll also do a little Corona as well. Yeah, so that's my thing.
I had to ask the Anheuser-Busch. They make a lot of my favorite beers, but I had to ask. Got to be curious, man. Are you still an Anheuser-Busch guy? So yeah, love.
Yeah, I stay with them. You know, I still got a lot of buddies that work over there, and like I say, they taught me the ropes from the business side way early. So. I got a lot of loyalty to them because they gave me a lot of tools to kind of be able to run a business and navigate, and understand pricing and margins and things of that nature. So it's they're nothing but love there.
And last question I want to ask you is, player management group. What does the future look like for you guys?
Yeah. So the future is bright. What we want to be able to do, Mark and Chris, is continue to carve our niche. And fortunately, now we're getting players in the hopper. We got players that can be referrals for us. So that old school having to really get out there and, you know, just cold call and trying to get on a player, We actually got players that can speak on our behalf. And our thing is we just want to make sure that taxation, that particularly, and I say this, African-Americans, as African-American athletes, and 70% of the league on both is 67, 70, what you would say is part of African-American. I want to get diversity in clients, but all my clients are African-American. That's just what it is right now. I love to get smaller, but that's just what it is. But my point to that is right now, and our company is diverse. I got Asian, I got Mexican, I got white. We're very diverse. The point to that is even when I worked with Anheuser-Busch and I started to make, you know, not the 750, but 100, 150, some large numbers, single, no kids, I didn't know. I just told the guy 40%, 38, whatever my number, and I just agreed to it. Now we're being able to get the African-American community to understand all the rules that other people were doing out here as far as tax and minimization that we just don't know. And it's still uneducated, even with athletes at this high level. Now, the LeBron James of the world, they got the best of the best. But I would tell you, 80% of the players, if we meet 10 of them, 8 of them are overpaying more in tax than what they legally have to. And it's just being educated of knowing the rules, knowing the strategies. One thing I'm going to leave you guys with, at PMG, what we do is, if the speed limit is 65, okay, the speed limit is 65, we go about 72, okay?
My kind of guy.
So what we doing, right. So what we're doing at 72 is, yeah, we're over the speed limit a little bit, but we ain't going to get no ticket. Mm-hmm. We ain't going to get no ticket. And that means a ticket from the IRS. So we're going to push the rules that the IRS set right up to the border, and we'll be able to support it with legalization. But we're not going to go 40 in a 65 like the CPAs do sometimes.
Right. I like that right there, man.
Telly, I'm sold, man.
That's the difference. So, you know. So that's how we roll it, yeah.
And, I'm going to let you go, man. Once, like Chris said earlier, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us and sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us. And, like I said, once we get to that 750 range, 500, or we see the bright light at the end of the tunnel, we give you a call, man.
Well, definitely. Hey, Mark and Chris, appreciate it. I know Nella, who kind of sets it up for us. I'll make sure I have you guys' contacts and all your stuff. And when I get out to your way, we definitely, stay in contact. Love to have you go to lunch with you guys and do something one day, you know.
Love to.
Yes, sir, man. We appreciate that. And once again, guys, this is Reggie Blackwell, the co-founder of Players Management Group. And I'm your host, Mark Haynes, MH the Champ on Instagram, along with my co-host.
Chris.PerrySR on Instagram.
And this is A Minute Till 6, and we out.
Preach.